The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, you're familiar with the seven deadly sins, right?
Oh, yeah. Gluttony. Yep. I'm all over that.
Well, there's more than just gluttony.
Yeah, that's true.
There's lust, there's gluttony, there's greed, there's sloth, there's wrath, there's envy. And then the queen of the seven deadly sins, pride.
The queen, so-called by Pope St. Gregory, right?
Yeah, who largely popularized this list of seven deadly sins, drawing on older traditions. You look back to, like, the Book of Proverbs. You have King Solomon dealing with, like, seven deadlies, in a sense. There's an older tradition there. But Gregory's really really popularized these seven deadly sins. So we're thinking, hey, let's examine these. We're all into talking about where science meets human experience. Philosophy and science kind of duke it out, what's going on with various parts of the human experience. We've decided we're going to tackle each of these seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
And just in case we get slothful and don't finish, we figured let's start with the big one. Let's go ahead and tackle the mother of sins, pride.
Which I have to say, I was a little bit surprised that this is considered the mother. Pride. I mean, that doesn't,
pride cometh before the fall, though, right? It's the. I instantly think back to the Divine Comedy, Dante's Inferno, mm-hmm. and all. And it's interesting. There's you have all these various circles and bulges in Dante's hell, mm-hmm. that dish out various punishments. So there's like the lustful are punished in one way, and then there are heretics in another, and it goes all the way down to where at the very bottom you have Satan himself and various betrayers and deceivers mm-hmm. frozen in this lake. So, but it's, what's interesting is that there's not really a particular circle in hell that's devoted to the prideful. Because there's a lot of pride going on in hell. You encounter prideful individuals at various levels. For instance, there's Farinata. It's a pretty proud heretic that you encounter. There's a thief by the name of Vanni Fuzzi. There's this really awesome part where he is essentially so prideful. He's in hell, and he's basically giving God the finger. But it's not the finger. It's this Italian thing called the figs. Where,
the figos?
Oh, is this a modern thing, too?
There's just a Italian term that I know that's not very nice.
Well, it's where you take your thumb mm-hmm. and you make a fist and then stick your thumb up mm-hmm. through your middle and the index finger
mm-hmm.
And then you kind of, and then with your knuckles facing out, you kind of like shake your fist. And then ideally you do this on both hands, like our friend, the thief in Dante's Inferno, and he shakes them to heaven.
We're like doing this, right now.
Yeah. So, I'm always mindful of that. There's actually, apparently in 1228, the citizens of Pistoria, fixed, two of these figs on this marble tower. And aimed them at Florence. So you had like whole buildings making figs at other cities. It's pretty amazing.
If memory serves right, I believe that figs have a phallic.
Yes, it's a very phallic thing. It's you know, masculine, female. You know, you don't really have to use your imagination all that much to see
right.
What
if
it's
you're looking
at.
Down, if you've done this and you're looking down at your hands right now, you're going to be like, oh, that's a little creepy looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have various prideful individuals, and pride is a part of all these other sins in Dante's hell. Though, if you travel up to the Mount of Purgatory, which is the focus of the second volume in the Divine Comedy, in Purgatory you have the Mount of Purgatory, which is this mountain that connects earth to heaven. And if you are you're not bad enough, say, to wind up in hell, but you still have some work to do. You still got some rough corners to buff out before you can actually walk through the pearly gates, then you need to go through Purgatory. And Purgatory is this mountain with these various terraces. And on each terrace, if you start out at the bottom, you have seven P's on your forehead, these seven marks.
Okay.
And as you travel through each terrace, you work off one of these marks until you're pure enough to actually enter the earthly paradise and ascend. So the first level that you have to go through on the Mount of Purgatory deals with pride. And so you have individuals walking around on this terrace carrying heavy rocks in their backs. So the weight's forcing them to walk slowly. Their bodies are bent low to the ground. So that is probably the most direct way that pride itself is dealt with in the Divine Comedy, though it pops up time and time again as part and parcel to other major sins. Like, I mean, Satan himself, the great deceiver, the great sinner, his fall is all about pride.
Well, yeah, and from what I read too about Leviathan, the snake is the spirit of pride, right? And actually is masquerading as the Holy Ghost and may enter someone and displace, this is my interpretation, God is the center, right? So you're replacing God with yourself as the center. And so perhaps this is why it's the queen of all sins.
And certainly outside of the Christian tradition, you see pride show up as a major downfall in human nature. For instance, the Wheel of Life in Tibetan Buddhism, the Wheel of Samsara, you see these various realms in which a human may become reincarnated, the various states of being. So there's like an animal realm, there's a human realm, there are hell realms, and then there are these upper realms of existence, including the Deva realm. And this is like the realm of the gods, where these mighty beings do their thing, but they're so consumed by ego and they're so blind to the suffering of others that even though they're long-lived, when they die, they're often reincarnated into the lower realms, into, say, the hell realms, because their lives ended up having such nasty results and were so karmatically awful. So,
just for being a little bit puffed up.
Well, they were more than a little bit puffed up. They had godlike pride, and that was their fall. And then, of course, the other thing is that Tibetan Buddhism especially, it's all about finding that balance, that equanimity. And the human realm is this desired realm, because this is the realm from which you can actually achieve liberation and rise above all the other realms and rise above this cycle of endless rebirth and death, where the individual is spiraling through all these different cycles of outrageous pride and outrageous despair and outrageous violence and just pure like animal existence. Eventually rises above all that and through liberation and the Noble Eightfold Path.
All right, so that's the way that you would achieve this, right?
Right.
Okay. And that's the philosophical side. But let's look at the science side of pride.
Yes.
Because it turns out there is a scientific part when you're talking about pride in the human being. So it turns out that pride is actually an adaptive virtue. And this is from Discover Magazine's article, I Didn't Sin, It Was My Brain. They say that most of us perceive ourselves as slightly smarter, funnier, more talented, and better looking than average. These rose-colored glasses are apparently important to mental health, the psychological immune system that protects us from despair. This is from Julian Paul Keenan, and he's the director of cognitive neuroimaging laboratory and professor of psychology at Montclair State University in New Jersey. And so apparently this is something that we need as social animals in order to bolster ourselves. And they actually have found that we start expressing pride as early as 2.5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And by age 4, able to recognize it. So which sort of points to something being hardwired in ourselves to be able to negotiate the social contract that we all entered into.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing about pride. It's you need to have pride in what you do. Like, nobody wants to be around somebody who doesn't believe in their own ability. Like, nobody wants to hire somebody who isn't going to say, yeah, I'm great at what I do, and you should hire me. I mean, that's just...
Well, right, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how, in terms of groupthink, people are looking really as pride as a marker in someone. Mm-hmm. And not only that, humility isn't always what it's cracked up to be, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I did want to point out that there seems to be some sort of universality when it comes to pride. It looks like this. It's a slight smile, a head tilt,
yes. Mm-hmm.
With hands on the hips or your hands raised high. And Dr. Tracy and David Matsumoto, psychologists at San Francisco State, analyzed spontaneous responses to winning or losing a judo match during the 2004 Olympic and Paralympic Games, and they found that expressions of pride after a victory were similar for athletes from 37 nations, including for 53 blind competitors, many of them who were blind from birth. So the idea is that this isn't just a simple act of imitation. In other words, we see one another do it.
It's not learned behavior. It's actually something that's emerging.
Yeah.
It's a physical cue.
Exactly. There's something going on in our brains that is pulling the puppet strings of expression for pride.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to all this. So hang in there. 1 second. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Obviously, there are two sort of branches of pride. There's the sort of authentic pride where, you want to be prideful about stuff that you're good at. You want to believe in yourself. You want to have enough optimism to carry out your daily life. Mm-hmm. But then there's this realm of hubris where you're just vain and prideful to an annoying or just destructive extent.
Yeah, that's more in the category of narcissism.
Yeah.
And someone who's very arrogant. It's kind of like jerk pride, I guess you could say.
Yeah, very much like this sinful, like, I'm Satan, I'm great, kind of pride, or the Deva pride, you know, where you have these beings that are just enormously powerful and just do not care about the suffering going on around them.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, that's the problem with pride, right?
Right.
I mean,
the pride that empowers versus the pride that blinds.
Exactly.
The pride that wounds.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of the psychology of that pride in society. There was a study on 62 undergraduates who took tests that were supposedly measuring their spatial IQ. Mm-hmm. And really, the patterns that were flashed before them were going way too fast that they couldn't actually perform on this test. That wasn't the point. The point is that afterwards, the researchers took all of them aside, or some of them not, and gave them feedback on how they did. Mm-hmm. And so they either didn't give them any feedback at all, or they said, with little or no expression, you did very well, or they completely gushed and said, you did great. and of course, they took this test and it was, it wasn't really about the results of it because they couldn't really finish it. But they didn't know that. The participants then sat down in a group to solve similar puzzles so that researchers could assess their behavior based on the feedback that they had given them. And they found that the puffed up, prideful students were perceived as being both more dominant and more likable than those who didn't get a seal of approval from the researchers. And they were really surprised about that because they thought that the other students would be considered boastful or just arrogant. Mm. They didn't realize that this was a big social component that those people were actually looked up to.
Yeah.
Because they had pride.
And it also, there's something to say here too about the power of positive reinforcement, you know, like build up certainly the people that work for you and the people around you, you know, because that puts them in a better position to excel.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Sort of a sidebar on that experiment.
So that's psychology of pride in society, but let's talk about psychology of pride in your own self.
Yes, in the individual. And this is where the research of Julian Paul Keenan is particularly interesting.
Yeah.
He's the director of Cognitive Neuroimaging Laboratory and professor of psychology at Montclair State University in New Jersey. As his title implies, he's done a lot of work peering inside the brain and seeing what's actually happening in moments of pride.
Yeah, he did. He got into people's brains because what he started to realize is that, and this is a quote for him, those who see themselves as they truly are, not so funny, a bad driver, overweight, have a greater chance of being diagnosed with clinical depression. So he wanted to take this premise of people who are a little bit more self-aware and see what was going on in their brains.
Right, and he found that it actually there's actually less mental energy typically involved in puffing ourselves up than tearing ourselves down. Even though they're very similar on a neurological level, like they're both actions are tied to more or less the same region of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, Keenan was interested in the MPFC.
And this is brain terrain just behind the forehead, and this is what helps shape awareness of self, right?
Right.
And he used a magnetic field called transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS. We've actually talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Applied to the scalp of volunteers, and it temporarily scrambled the signals in this area of the brain.
Selectively shutting off this region of the brain,
yeah.
Which I neglected to say what MPFC stands for. It is the
medial prefrontal cortex.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So he has this means to briefly shut off the MPFC in his volunteers. Switches them off, and then he watches as the normal, everyday arrogance melts away from these individuals. And apparently is not a pretty sight.
No, they see themselves as they really are without glossing over negative characteristics. So I think it's fascinating that the whole TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, that you can sit there with a magnet and actually manipulate that part of the brain is just, on a side note, very creepy to me. But there was a study by Hidehiko Takahashi of the National Institute of Radiological Sciences in Japan, and researchers asked volunteers to imagine themselves winning a prize or trouncing an opponent while their brains were being scanned. And they showed less activation in brain regions associated with introspection and self-conscious thought than people induced to feel negative emotions like shame or embarrassment. So the conclusion is that, as you had stated before, we accept positive feedback about ourselves readily, right? There's less energy. We just go, oh, okay, and we accept that, rather than compared with something like guilt or embarrassment. Which the brain really tends to go over a little bit more.
Another thing to come out of Keenan's work that I thought was interesting was that he pointed out that self-deprecation and self-deceptive pride,
yeah,
they're both located in the same region of the brain, like it's, and they both serve the same purpose, and that is to advance in society, which makes sense. One person may say they're being really self-deprecating because they're sort of fishing for boost me ups. They're looking for sympathy, or like, oh no, you did fine. You're really not that bad at this thing that you're harping about. Versus the person who is just unrealistically pumping themselves up because they're trying to make others believe in this boastful reality that they're putting forth.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting in this unctuous, ingratiating behavior, this humility is masquerading.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, it's the difference. Like, if one person was saying, like, man, I am so beautiful, and people were like, you are beautiful. You keep talking about it. I'm buying into it now. And then the other person is saying, oh, man, I'm so not beautiful. And then people are like, oh, no, you are beautiful. Like, it's similar results, in terms of other people's, what other people are saying and or thinking about you.
Or, I'm not as beautiful as you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, ingratiating yourself in that way, which is really interesting. And it's really, I find that fascinating that using the same TMS, he was able to detect that.
And effectively study something that for the longest was really not studied all that much, because it was sort of considered, in the same way that there's not a particular region in Dante's Inferno, there's not a particular circle that's just devoted to pride. It was just thought that it was too elusive, that it was just too, it was too everywhere and nowhere to really succinctly study.
Well, it's not as, you know, sexy as anger or fear.
Yeah.
People, right, they didn't think that there was much to it. But in fact, it's really part and parcel of the way that we interact with one another, mm-hmm. and the way that we're perceived. And I do really find it very interesting that you can see this taking place in the brain. You know, when he is, when Kenan is manipulating that one area about self-awareness, mm-hmm. and how all of that just melts away.
Yeah.
And someone can see themselves for who they are, which, you know, we've brought this up before, but like, wow. I mean, that makes me think about how much we construct our own reality, mm-hmm. and how much of our brains really inform who we are, our personalities.
So the science kind of falls in line with some of what we kind of already knew about pride. In that there's both a light and a dark side to pride. There's a balanced level of pride that allows us to go about our daily lives and our professional lives and our personal lives in a reasonable manner. And then there's cases where there's not enough pride, where one mm-hmm. is more prone to depression. And then there's overwhelming pride. There's just pure hubris where the individual is just violently strutting forth like a peacock through life.
Like a peacock in a china shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like this idea of it being therapeutic too, though.
Yeah.
Sort of a, you know, fake it till you make it thing.
Yeah. I mean, and to think back, you know, too, on these examples, like you see writings of, you know, individuals like St. Benedict, who compares pride and humility to Jacob's ladder, this dream vision of this ladder that allows one to reach heaven and God. And the idea that any kind of pride is a step down the ladder, and then a step of humility is a step up the ladder. But then you've had other people point out that pride is really kind of it's almost kind of like a safety feature with other sins. Like if you were enjoying food and it might seem to be that you're going down the road to gluttony, well, then pride should cut in at some point and stop you and be like, whoa, I should, as great as this food is, I also am kind of prideful about how I look, so I should maybe hold off so that I don't ruin that with excessive burger eating.
I see a book in here, like How to Make the Seven Sins Work for You.
Well,
by Robert Lamb.
Those books already exist, but they're, one is called The Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey. But because the whole thing, I read it in high school. But like a lot of that is like him, Anton LaVey, arguing it's like all these seven deadly sins, they're really seven deadly virtues because they're all great and blah blah blah. And that's the thing. There's certainly an argument to be made for any of these sins. Like, at what point is it? Is it really something that hurts us? And at what point is it just a part of who we are? And is it more hurtful to ignore it? Which is, that's going to be a topic that's going to continue to come up as we examine each of these so-called sins from the standpoint of science.
That's right.
Yeah, and psychology and all that.
Next up, envy.
Is it? Next up is envy?
I believe it is. Okay. That's the second one.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until...
Not to boast.
Well, tell us what you think. What do you think about pride? How it factors into your daily life, and how it factors into the various competing worldviews in the world around us. Do you agree with St. Benedict? Do you agree with Anton LaVey? Let us know. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. On Facebook, we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and on Twitter, we are Below the Mind.
And you can also drop us a note at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.